I love trees and rivers and the book of John, so this was a great text for this Sunday. I also am known on the pastoral team as the pastor who cries while giving a sermon, so we'll see how that goes. I have some tissues. In February of 2020, I got a phone call. My father, who had early onset Alzheimer's, had an obstructed bowel. My sisters, my stepmom, and I determined that we would ask only for comfort treatment. I traveled to Ontario 2 weeks later and was able to be with him before he died. And then after his death, I spent time with my family in that strange grief and relief that accompanies death after a long illness or a series of losses like those that accompany Alzheimer's. And then I returned back to you. And I came home to preach a sermon for that first Sunday in Lent. That sermon included a reflection on the ark as a symbol of Lent, and it was taken from a book that we used through that Lenten series called Wild Hope, Stories from the Vanishing by Gail Boss. And she said, the ark is the church, the community that carries us across the roiling chaos of our lives. And all that water, it's chaos too. And there's also the water of baptism that strips off the tough husk we wear so that love can spill out of us. When we suffer in love together, a suffering love beyond ourselves, we can birth through us a new world, a more beautiful world that lies quietly waiting in every heart. I entered that sermon with you vulnerable, fresh from my father's death and his funeral. And I reminded you and myself that at the beginning of Lent, we wear oil and ashes, so we show ourselves vulnerable. We recognize our own mortality, stripped of that tough husk, so that love can spill out of us. It was less than 2 weeks following that sermon that we all experienced the deep vulnerability and unsettling nature of a shutdown due to COVID-19. And we continue to live with that disease. And we live with the changes that have occurred in our community and in our nation and in the world since that shutdown time. And we wonder, who have we become? Who are we together? How have we changed? Here's a little plug for the survey that Carl sent out earlier this week. You can help us answer those questions by completing that survey. You should go look for it. And we wonder, what are the seeds that were planted in the darkness? What are the seeds that are being nurtured underground? What are the things within our community that have taken root? How are our husks being worn away so that what is growing within us and among us can flourish? What has happened and what is happening in the beautiful darkness of the earth, in the darkness of that growing quiet place? In the womb, what fruit might this time that we have had, these last 2 years, this time that we continue to have, what fruit might that be yielding for us? You too will have pots to consider what might be growing within you and us. And so as we hold those questions, let's look at today's scripture texts. The scriptures today, and in fact all the stories in Eastertide, invite us to consider time in a different kind of way. I remember sitting with the children in Children in Worship, and they often wonder, why does Jesus keep disappearing when Jesus is supposed to be back with us? I like to think about time in the way that it exists and is fluid. And I'm not a physicist, but I love the way that John's gospel understands time like Einstein, or like understands time like I understand Einstein. How's that? So the gospel of John and the theory of relativity say, if I understand it correctly, that time is an event that happened, and it can only be judged according to your frame of reference. John's gospel does not focus on the chronological order of events, but rather on the impact of those events in times past and in times to come. The impact of the events on the disciples, on what is going to happen for the disciples. The impact of the events on all times and all places. To say it another way, reading John's gospel can be done most easily if we think like Steve Shantz. Okay, Steve Shantz out in a field with a group of kids and a really big telescope looking at the stars in January. Maybe you were there. Look, says Steve, look at those lights in the sky. And we line up to look through the telescope. Those planets, he says, and the stars are there because of something that happened a long, long time ago. You are looking back into time to see that light. You are looking back in time, maybe even to the time of the dinosaurs. The Gospel of John reminds us that the stars we see in the present are a part of the mystery of the past. And Jesus says, I am going away, and I am coming to you. That Jesus who says that strange line, I am going away, and I am coming to you, is also present here with us now. That is the amazing, life-giving mystery of Easter, of life and death and life again. It might have happened in the past, but we are called to live in a kind of spiritual time warp, discovering and uncovering, exploring together the ways that the things of the past are alive and powerful in the present, just like those stars. So you might wonder, how can we know more deeply this presence of Jesus Christ alive in the past and now? How can we come to know the intimacies and intricacies of our connectedness to each other and to Christ through all time? And I think that Revelation's text gives us a window. It reminds us that all places, are places for encounters with God. And that the communication of the living Christ and the new creation that God is bringing here is on earth. The new Jerusalem, the way of interacting with God is through the water, the river that flows through the middle, the light that comes, the large tree that is for healing and nurturing. Wendy Jansen of the Burning Bush Forest Church in Ontario reminds us, she says, it is, after all, through the woods, the fungi, and the soil that we can learn the secrets of life, of dormancy and growth, of interconnection and community, of rootedness and reaching upward. One thing I think the pandemic has taught us is that we need to be outdoors. We need the earth, and we need each other. We need to connect with each other. Maximus the Confessor was a person who lived in 580, and he wrote work about creation and scripture. And his work has informed Celtic spirituality from that point on, and he says that creation and scripture are two distinct books. And in those two books, we can learn about God. And both of those books do the same thing. They inscribe the word that draws us to love, the book of Scripture, the book of creation. This year, in preparation for my sabbatical, and growing out of the increased opportunities that we had over the last years for outdoor worship, children and families were invited to participate in monthly activities that paired these two books, the Book of Creation and the Book of Scripture. And I hope they found times that the Word of God was inscribed on their heart, the Word through the tree, the Word through the river, the Word through the story. Now, if you read the short version of my sabbatical grant description that was summarized for the congregation, or the 21-page version, which I'm sure none of you except the committee read, then you would know that the grant for this sabbatical asked me to write about what made my heart sing. Now, you can read both of them in the assembly line if you're interested, but I'll just tell you part of what I wrote. I said, I know so deeply that the love that began in the heart of God, the heart of creation, flows out through our hearts to others and into the world. What makes my heart sing, what I delight in, is relationships that I have forged through care and commitment. I delight in the earth, in swimming, in floating, held up by water, knowing that we are held by the buoyancy of God. I delight in the trees, in the silence, in the rush of the wind. I delight in the late fall when everything has moved back into its beginning, to the womb of the earth. I went on, I delight in losing myself in a good book or a thoughtful conversation, a cup of tea, and the expansive sky. I wrote, the grant was written in 2020. I said, I find comfort and delight in each of these things, even during this time of pandemic, even as I have been separated from many of the ones that I love. Against the backdrop of this, the ways that I have been rubbed open, that husk has been worn away by the storm of COVID, the activities of this grant will include the reparative healing power of these delights. I bring together the people I love with opportunities to explore and connect the book of creation and the divine. In the grant, there are also written in activities for you to connect the book of creation and the book of divine. That is the gift of this sabbatical grant. It is not just a time of resting for me, but for you also, if you take those opportunities. The delights, the gifts of creation ground me. I hope they ground you. And I believe they give us direct connection to the divine and invite us deeply into gratitude. Gratitude for the ways that the story of Easter is not just a thing that happened, that it is encountered in the present. It is encountered in the world around us. That John text, Jesus is with the disciples. He is breathing on the disciples, and that breath is with us today. And when we are held in that nest, in that breath, we become a place of respite, of healing, and radical hospitality. And the river of life and the leaves that offer healing in all seasons, we connect with that. I have had a personal gratitude practice for many years. Since college, most nights I write in a gratitude journal. It has formed my adult life. It keeps me humble. I know those things are unearned. It makes me a better person. I trust the research on that one. But recently, I read in a book called The Hopeful Family by Amelia Richardson Dress about the practice of gratitude as an important family practice. She reminds me that gratitude appears in Christianity and many other religious traditions as a recognition of our interdependence. Gratitude, she said, reminds us that we're not alone. She's pushed me to consider gratitude as a family practice. And this summer, as we travel, our kids have journals too, and we will encourage them to journal. Actually, we wrote a bribe into the sabbatical grant, so we'll bribe them to keep a journal, to keep track of what they did. And also to note the things that they're grateful for each day, because there's a connection between gratitude and generosity. And the research shows that people who feel grateful give more, more of their money, more of their time, more of their energy. And I wonder, along with the author, if teaching children to walk in the wonder of the earth and the wonder of gratitude might have a real impact on global problems. Gratitude, like the tree and the river and the earth, teach interconnectedness. For me, laying on the grass or wading in a stream or naming the things I am grateful for, these connect me to the divine. They give an experience of God, an experience that we can rely on to know that we are connected and part of something much bigger than ourselves. Experiences that also teach us that we are connected to this story that came before and that propel us to act, to build a future so that others can revel in the timeless nature of this Easter event. Sometimes here at Assembly, we have struggled with what we can affirm about God, how to talk about that one that is many. I grew up in a congregation full of fire and Pentecost, charismatic, speaking in tongues, hearing the audible voice of God. And well, pretty quickly, and maybe even in that same moment that I was present, the theology didn't work for me, an early thinker. But the experience stayed. I knew deep in my bones that God was present and that I was loved and valued and worthy. I regularly experience something outside of myself, and that remains. I was shaped there in the strange, bizarre mystery of the divine. And it's hard sometimes to know what to do with that deep feeling here. And it is hard to know how to talk about with my kids who say, I don't know what God is. You don't say enough about God at Assembly. Oh dear. Maybe we say too much, I don't know. Because every time we say, yes, this is what God is, we always have to say, and maybe not. So yes, this is what God is. And last year, after the remains of more than 1,000 children were found at residential schools in Canada, I came upon a poem or a prayer that maybe you found too. And after I read it, tears flowing down my cheeks, I went into the kitchen and I said to Adam, Adam, this is God. I found some words for God. And it makes me cry. So people, this is God. I found some words for God. Pawnee woman Abigail Echo Hawk said this. When they buried the children, what they didn't know is that they were lovingly embraced by the land held and cradled in a mother's heart. The trees wept for them. With the wind, those trees sang their mourning songs, the mourning songs of their mothers who didn't know how to sing, bending branches to touch the earth around them, and the Creator cried for them, tears falling like rain. Mother Earth held them until they could be found. Now our voices sing their mourning songs with the trees, the wind. Light sacred fire, ensure they are never forgotten as we sing justice. Here is a God who holds even those who don't know what has happened to them, who holds those children in the earth and their parents don't know where they are. Here is a God beyond time and place, a God in all times and at all places. Like the light and the stars from the past, in the present, and at the same time in the future, the arms of a God who held and knew grief and carried and cradled. A God whose tree roots wrapped around and was present, healing, waiting. This, my friends, is God. This is the Easter event. The love and cries for justice are in all places and at all times. May these summer experiences that the Summer Worship Committee will offer to you parallel your parallel renewal activities, canoeing, hiking, outside worship, planting trees, growing together, personal retreats at Pathways if you take them, give you opportunities to connect deeply to the divine through creation and through relationships with each other. And may you have healing experiences of love and gratitude. And may these experiences of rest and connection remind us that we are cared for, held, and loved, part of an interdependent system of God loving us. May you, may we, listen for the Spirit and find her, past and present the same. May we foster an ongoing attunement to the book of creation and its story of love beyond time. And may that connection remind us not to let the husks of predictability return and harden over us. Instead, may love spill out, creating a new world as the husk is worn away. Amen.